For 4 years, John Mabry slaved away at his business with the ups and downs and the challenges.
Right, it's at the end of the day, if you're almost saying that what you're doing by, you know, howling the sleeve, trying new things, etc., maybe that's just what you're born to do. You know, you're trying and testing something, and eventually something will go, actually, this kind of works. But it's not that it's wrong. It's just not traditional, right? But then again, what you're doing and what we're doing as content creators is hardly traditional.
This one's about navigating limiting beliefs.
Belief structure could be based on a truth, a half-truth, or a completely made-up truth.
Telling a story that captivates people, and how all of a sudden, just a flip of a mindset, changed the man's life. I aged like milk over the last 4 years.
But you're looking skinny.
I lost weight recently, yes.
You're looking really good.
Yeah, financial hardship means you're very cost effective.
And I thought, you know, and you've gone down from your cardi to a cheap polyester jumper, but it suits you. whatever you wear, you can get away with, because you're just so, I don't want to use that term low maintenance, but yeah. You know, you're authentic
homeless.
Self.
Homeless looking.
No, look at that hairdo. There's a few wisps of grey hair. And
don't tell me. Yeah, this is the best intro I've ever had. What do you think?
Well, I watch your stuff regularly. how can you not miss it? It is everywhere. And I remember, you know, you might have been trialing different algorithms and different, formats and on LinkedIn. And, you know, maybe I think you were posting sometimes 10 times a day. And I
was just like,
you couldn't. And, you know, the algorithm has changed now, hasn't it? It's gone to a content led. So if you don't engage with Ryan Melton, you won't see his stuff.
Yeah. And I stopped commenting because I don't like typing or reading anymore. But I don't know why videos still don't work. You're the LinkedIn guru. I know, obviously, that's not what you're doing now.
No. There are other LinkedIn gurus.
Yeah, but who gets more engagement than you back in the day, though? You know what I mean? I know
Stanley Henry. He's sharing
true
good, you know, stuff that's more relevant, I think, to a traditional New Zealand audience. You know, I'm a single gay guy who doesn't have staff. And I don't have huge aspirations to growing a team and growing to New York. God, it's amazing how I could tell the Stanley Henry story, can't I?
Yeah.
Because he's told it numerous times via his content.
Interesting.
But it's you know, I admire that strategy, but that's maybe that's a story that I've made up.
Well, what do you think worked so well with him, or what worked with so well with you in the back in the day? Because you I worked out whoever the best ones was, and I interviewed them.
Of course.
And now I know all of them. I'm like, yeah, I knew them back when they were just starting out.
And here we are. It's such a privilege to be in the studio for our second time around. Yeah, look, I think people who are open and honest and share their stories, their wins and their losses, the good and the bad, those are the people that get noticed for being, excuse me, real.
Mm.
And you know, that's why I love Ryan J. Melton, because he shares it all. Like you've just said, you're an open book.
Yeah, yeah.
And for some, I think for a traditional New Zealand audience, it's kind of like, you know, trying to fit in, right? Mm. We want to fit in, but at the same time, do they want to see the you know, what does it say for they talk about wearing your heart on your sleeve?
Yeah.
Do they want to see all of that background stuff or that thinking or that narrative of what if I try this, if I try that, da da da? Well, clearly it's worked for you, it works for Stanley, but the only difference is neither of you are gay.
I would double down that gay wokeness for sure. I would milk it so bad. Like, you know, I mean, you did for a period of time. You interviewed yourself and then you got a lockdown series. It's crazy how these things are imprinted in your mind. I actually think my style of content is bad for two reasons. It's too deep and it's too full on. And it's people want to be entertained and not think about the horrors of life. So I've got to mix it up a little bit, I think.
Look, I think people want to see a balance, right? Mm. They want to see a balance of emotional drama, a little bit of entertainment, a bit of learning, a bit of insight, a little bit of success, a little bit of failure, right? They want to see the balance of and nothing tall poppy, right? Yeah. You know, if you did a success post on LinkedIn every single day, you'd be shot down. you would just, no one would like it.
Should we do a test? See how long until people start hating me. Have you heard of the story about zebras? It relates.
Oh, tell me the story about the zebras.
I know you're on a flow there. I just fucking took it. So there's zebras. They were studying these zebras, and they couldn't work out which one was which, so they put like a red dot on it. And then they come back, and that zebra was dead. And like, what the fuck's going on? It was because the predators could unify their attention to focus on one person. And I think that's something to do with tall poppy syndrome. You know, like if we can unify our hate towards someone instead of acknowledge our inadequacies.
It's easier, isn't it?
Mm. So anyways, LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn. Look, I've...
Or whatever. What do you want to talk about?
Or whatever. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah. How would you milk being gay to use to your advantage, or how does it hinder you in life? Or does it matter?
Look, I think... I don't think it matters anymore. Mm. I think for the probably Gen X, it's there's still some people that are like, you know.
I won't
say anything. Oh, the LGBT plus, you know, there's a lot more people coming out of the woodwork. But of course, I think it was around that time the algorithm changed that, you know, I liked a few LGBT because I'm proud of my family people putting themselves out there, which is brave, and talking about stuff that people just don't talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it? This is difficult telling you the story. I've been quite enjoying Ryan Instagram Reels.
Oh.
And I've been scrolling a lot.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm there for entertainment, you know, car dash cam crashes.
Boys.
How did you know about that? It's like soft porn.
Oh, no, it's tough, yeah.
It is like, you know, and it's just people talking about things that Gen Xers just would never talk about. it's amazing that, you know, we take a subject of living a gay life and it's just not talked about in my generation of growing up, and now the next generation going, well, I mean, it's not shoving it down your face. It is just, you know, for those people that want to engage with it, you're going to see more of it.
Yeah.
And if you like seeing that type of content or those types of bodies or those types of anatomies, fine. But I'm just amazed that content creators these days are just becoming more and more brave and more and more, well, as you know, and just being honest, being more authentic, which
it's why we're here.
We've got to celebrate it, right?
Did I tell you I almost got banned from TikTok? Do you know that story?
Tell me that story.
So I peed myself a little bit on in a speech, and also I had tight pants that, you know, certain things were prominent, and the comments were filth, absolute filth. So I was getting banned, and then I started getting all these like videos from men being like, you know, how much for nudes and shit like that. So then, and then they all just like were in my comments and stuff. So my TikTok almost got banned just from me doing a talk.
Wow.
What's the world coming to? So it's people like you on your fucking Instagram reels.
Look, I don't like anything, right? I don't comment. I'm a lurker on Instagram.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it's just scrolling. But it's interesting watching that, you know, when I was telling people how to, you know, shoot videos on your phone 4 years ago, I was saying, my first rule is you've got to respect your prospect's time. You've got to realize that. So I was really saying, 60 to 90 seconds when everyone's going, oh no, we're going to do a 3-minute, 4-minute video. And then realizing that they don't watch them.
Mm.
People, unless they like the content or they like the person in the first 10 seconds. But if you want the person to hook them into what you're going to talk about, you need to be respectful of their time. So now I'm like, you know, that's what TikTok has done. You know, it's like we get really good at looking at those first 3 seconds. There's no action. There's nothing happening, or there's no engagement in the thing. It's a gone, right? Same with TikTok, same with Reels.
Same with dating, swiping. If you don't catch it,
I gave up. I've given up.
Is it Grindr in New Zealand? Does it go hard?
No, I
can
don't.
You get free meals for like 2 weeks?
I was dating somebody. I was dating somebody all last year, and we broke up in November.
Ooh.
And look, I don't really want to talk about my relationship status, but I think I've had enough sex in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, preach.
He wanted more, and I didn't. We got on really well. And it's funny. It's like, since we've broken up, that was November last year, I've been, what's that word?
Whoring?
No, the other word, the opposite to whoring.
Abstinent.
Abstinent since that time.
Wow.
It's just, I've got other concerns, like running a business.
Yeah. I mean, that's stimulating in its own way.
100%. Stop it, Brian Melton. Stop it. But yeah, for me, it's, you know, really what I want to come and talk to you today about is, you know, just the things that in the first 3 or 4 minutes we've been talking here, there's just lots of stories, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember I was really good at sharing quite personable stories on LinkedIn. Mm. And, you know, was it, there was probably inside of me, there's the attention seeker, you know, I like a little bit of, you know, attention.
Like Stan Again, didn't you? It's the name of his company.
And, you know, but it was also, I know that if you share an authentic story and you put that out to people, you'll know that people who relate to that, you'll build that trust faster, right? And I did that, a combination of video and written. And it's just been really where my whole focus has shifted from the, I guess, the end framework of video or speaking or podcast. Ultimately, the first thing is always going to be, oh, what's going to come out of your mouth? What are you going to do? And so whenever people come to me and do, I want to do some video training. Oh, well, here's some story scripts for you to put your information into. So for me, that's been my whole evolution change of more on storytelling, less on the actual output.
I don't know if you know, there was a period of time where I was doing like 1 day clips, which is like you turn up, no prep, 60 minutes, your content for the month's done. Because that's what I just shoot the shit with them, make them feel comfortable with themselves. But how do you help someone communicate more effectively? You know, you give them 5 high fives and then, you know, you eat McDonald's together and then get them drunk and then you record it. Like, what's your process?
Well, really, there's two pathways, right? So my business has moved from, LinkedIn, I still post and I still have an audience and I still know lots of people like the famous Ryan Melton.
Oh, the one and only.
But it's, you know, and I probably need to learn more about how to, you know, well, I probably needed to learn 3 years ago on how to say to those people who liked, you know. So, but before, when I would do a post on LinkedIn, I would wait for people to comment. So I'd wait for Ryan to comment on a post before I'd, you know, have a little bit of a conversation with them and say, hey, do you want to catch up for a coffee? Right, all those people who liked, and there were a lot more people who liked than will actually wrote a comment, right? I ignored them. I completely ignored them. And that's, again, non-sales brain going, well, I'll wait for them to engage, because people will talk eventually. So I probably still needed some LinkedIn training. There was a few, oh, shit, if only I'd known that, you know, the last 2 years, then things might have been a little bit different. But that's just the learnings in life, the learning in business. So for me, my business has shifted from a LinkedIn perspective to a BNI, or from a networking space. And, you know, come to think of it, it's, you know, I always love this. I love, you know, just as you greeted me as I came in the door, and we've known each other pretty well, and we've had a few coffees, and we'll talk about my later, is, you know, we gave ourselves, you know, gave you a hug. There's nothing beats an in-person eye-to-eye conversation. Admittedly, through the COVID times, we couldn't do that, really, and everyone, there's other things going on in the background, but now it's just like, it's full on. So what BNI gave me this access, because I play a good BNI game, they gave me this ambassadorial role. So it's, you know, and it means I can go and talk to other chapter members in the guise of presenting and speaking their 60 seconds or their 10-minute presentation, having that be more memorable and more effective. But it means I can go to other chapters without having to, you know, pay, if you like.
Yeah. How many chapters are there, like, give or take?
Oh, there's in Auckland, there's 38 chapters.
And you just fucking keep going around and keep getting business.
No, I don't need the F word in there. I have been to 35 of the 38 chapters in Auckland. And typically, yeah, my thing is I go in and, you know, go for a visit, and then I will say to the chapter people, if you'd like me to come and do a guest presentation on how to deliver a great 60 seconds, and an effective 10-minute, and then, you know, there will always be people will reach out to you. So that's really been, but for me, it's, you know, you get measured in BNI on the number of one-to-ones you have, right? And for most people, they do, and you'll love this, right? To the how we started before we started the show, was for most people, they'll do one one-on-one, maybe two a week, right?
Gross.
And I do 8 to 12.
Should we see if we do 50?
So I've done 306 one-to-ones in the last 12 months.
Wow.
And that's, and you know, yes, okay. Single gay man, got time, you know. Well, I don't have... You know,
loves hugs.
You got a family, you got kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's you obviously, you know, you've got some commitment. So, and I just love this. I love being able to sit down, give away some value, have a conversation, and help.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that whole givers gain thing, if you give some value, help people along, reciprocity is certainly a thing.
Well, it definitely works. I think it's always that the person that's the best salesman is the one that's like, you know, they care more about the person does about themselves. But then the art is, if you care so deeply about others, how do you care about yourself enough to ask?
Oh no, I've got better at that.
All right, go on. Teach some people.
Look, you know, for me is, we can talk about storytelling in a moment, but in terms of what we were just sort of saying to you before, I've, you know, I had this non-sales brain. I'm very good at promoting people or putting myself out there without even giving thought what I'm selling, right? I just, my natural default is like, hi, how are you? And engage. So we've had lots of good conversations. I remember, well, should we tell the story?
You can say whatever the fuck you want, I'm worried about you.
Ryan and I went for a coffee and, you know, and he and we arrived at Gloria Jean's just down here on Federal Street, and we go in and I pull out my cards. Oh, I've got this. And I put it down, tap. Oh, you declined. And it's like, okay, well, actually, you might be getting lunch today, Ryan. And we had a conversation and, you know, Ryan cares. You do. You can't prove it.
Fuck up. No, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I do care. Yeah.
You do care. And he, you know, he's always happy to give a bit of advice. And, you know, for me, it was about following a process about, okay, well, if I get in front of people, what am I listening for? Am I, you know, I'm listening for how I can add value to them just in the conversation, and then asking certain questions of, where do you want to go? How are you going to do that? What's the vision? Blah, blah, blah. And then saying, you know, well, you know, cool, I think I can help. Would you like a proposal on that, right? So before I would have said, go to a landing page, all the information's there. Kind of taking that American style of, you know, here's a landing page, just register here, and then you'll get a sequence of emails and yada yada, right? So in New Zealand, that doesn't really work. So I delivered a proposal. I would, you know, go through that process, and I'd go to a contract, and then I'd go to invoice, etc. But I followed that, and once I got really good at that, things started to shift.
So I think there'll be a lot of people. I wasn't sure what you're going to say in that our meeting. You brought in the meeting like, this is the process, and then I guess you only brought up the part where I was like, I paid for it. I thought you were going to differ out of that.
Well, Ryan did say in that meeting.
Yeah, prove me wrong.
He said, John Mainbury, I think the only way for you to sell or to get sales in your business is get an external salesperson.
And I said, that's your biggest problem. You got a product. You're really good at what you do. You're just not asking, and then that's why I said you're an external. And talking to you since, the lesson I learned from it was that it's not so much that people can't sell, it's that they're not selling in the right way for them. So, you know, I walk with my tail between my legs, and that, you should prove me wrong. It's good.
I'm asking, baby. You're I'm asking. Would you like a proposal on that?
On asking. You're getting used to it. I was like, oh, fuck.
Would you like a proposal on that? Yeah. I think I can help you. And then in the, you know, when I send them the proposal and I send them the, you know, I always deliver it, right? Okay. I don't just send it to them. I present it.
Ah, smart.
And that's just me getting, have you got any questions? And, you know, some of those old sales trainings I've been to, you know, in the past, keep coming back. Always, wherever opportunity, present it. And then when I email it to them for consideration, and I say, hey, Ryan, I'd really love to work with you. Mm. You know, when can we start? You know, it's just like I'm clear that I've learned that my personality type is I'm definitely a doer. You know, it's all the language is about time or doing or, you know, getting the work done. And but then there's definitely a performer that
really
sometimes,
where?
Yeah, exactly. I've just like anything I've had to work hard at stuff, and once you get that sales thing going, it's really satisfying.
Yeah. Oh, dude,
it's just been, you know, I've had a record month.
Yeah.
You know, it's been 4 years since I started my business, just over 4 years, and you know, for me as a coach, you know, to bill $25,000 is good money.
Oh, yeah? What's your biggest ticket thing that you've sold? Like, what's the, like, just the dollar amount, just to scare people off? No, just kidding. What's your biggest price? Someone said $2.5 million a few weeks back, over a few years, but still. It stretches your mind. And some cunt said to me, he's like, yeah, I did a $600,000 deal. If you can't make $30,000 in a month of your business, you're wasting your time. I was like, yeah, I need to stretch my reality. But yeah, sorry, what's your biggest?
No, I'm not going to answer that question. Well, the $25,000, you just ran about $5,000, right?
$5,000's the biggest?
$5,000 for a workshop.
Okay.
But it's, you know, I've always kind of...
Could you say 50? Like, just to see? Just on someone?
Oh, you want me to, you want to see that if I can say, I can sign a 50K deal because just to, so I'm not stammering and stuttering on the 50K.
I just want to see what happens if you do your proposal thing and just say it's a stupid amount of money. Just
look, you're right. It's, you know, when demand says that, you know, you keep getting some, you put your price up. And I've always, but I've kind of been playing with the SME space, right? Yeah. I enjoy the SME space. I relate to them. And that generally is that BNI networking kind of group, you know, less than sort of 10 staff, maybe some with 20 staff. And they tend to be my people. Mm. And, you know, most of them, if you're going to put a thing in front of them that's $10,000, they'll go, whoa, that wasn't what I was expecting. It's like,
what about a payment plan, though? Like, spaced out over 3 months.
See, here he is. So Ryan's still going to find a particular way to do a subscription plan. Look, I've tried... My first model was subscription.
I mean $10,000, but split over three. So it's still $10,000.
Oh, look, I'm sure it's all doable and possible, right? But look, I'm just excited to... At the end of the day, I'm loving what I'm doing. And,
yeah, cool.
You know.
And making good money.
And I'm making some money, which is good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Deserve it, 4 years.
And it's kind of around about... End of May, I decided to move out of my apartment in Freeman's Bay and go house sitting. And it's been the best thing for me. It's only been, 2 months? And I've had a, you know, 3 week one, and I've had these in between houses for staying with friends. And it's just kind of changed the focus.
Interesting.
My key thing was living alone, working alone from home.
Yeah.
You just become a worker, which I don't mind being a workaholic. I love what I do, but there needs to have some delineation of when does work finish, and even a distraction of a dog or a cat to kind of play with or run around or take for a walk or whatever it might be. And it was cool. It was fun. So yeah, the house sitting is great. If you need a house sit done, I would prefer an 8 week.
Longer.
I don't really want to do 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I had one in Takapuna for 3 weeks. I'm looking at one in Titirangi in 4 weeks for the month of September. So, you know, it's
cheap.
Just, well, yeah, well, isn't it funny that now I'm earning money, I can afford to, you know, do some rent. But I'm like, yeah, obviously I've had to buy a car though, Ryan. It's
no more scooter.
The 50cc scooter would be great in summer and going down the shops or what have you. But
it was your trademark.
More people are, you know, they want me to come and speak at, you know, at these BNIs, or I've got a speaking gig in Christchurch next week for 150 people, and my plan is to develop a keynote and go off and entertain people from the stage.
Yeah,
tell some stories.
Good stuff. Well, I was actually thinking, going rewinding a little bit back, there's probably a lot of value you could provide, like business owner is just beating against a fucking wall and there's no hope. And then also like having fears around the ask. So what are your advice about either businesses just be like, fuck, what, how do I get out?
Well, I think that the really for me, the insight of telling stories is that I go to a lot of chapters, a lot of networking events, and most, and you go to even a networking event through chamber or what have you, you meet people and they say, what do you do? Right? And they go on saying, oh, I'm a mortgage advisor and we get money for people. Oh. And it's always dull and fucking boring.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Nah, yeah,
so, funny. You know, and it's, we've all heard of Simon Sinek and, you know, speak from the why and what have you. So it's when you reframe your, you know, what you do into why you do it, and then build a story around that, it comes across as more, oh wow, that's, I can see that. It just piques people's interest, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's funny that most larger businesses, we all know that larger businesses do ads and TV and radio and, you know, large corporate leaders, they've all got a story. But when is it that from SME businesses, as soon as they get a marketing manager on board, do they start to turn, on our about section on our website, we need to have a story. We need to have a founder story, an origin story, or whatever it might be. And for me, is that's just been wonderful to coach that out of people. You know, I see a lot of these, you know, I was talking to an accountant the other day and I said, what's your why? Oh, I just want to help. So there's something more to that, you know.
Where does
that helping come from? And then she said, well, I used to be a paramedic. I went, oh, that's an interesting story. Tell me about that. And what was it about being a paramedic that you can relate to what you do as an accountant? And it's like, I help people get out of the mire or whatever it was. And it was just like, she saw that little light bulb moment go, oh, wow. So how do I tell your financial paramedic story that leads into your accountant story or the mission or what you do, and that's going to frame for other people that, oh, wow, you're about helping people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And it just changes that narrative.
Hey, I'm starting to see why you're getting business, brother. I like it. Especially because it's the B&I people that want to stand up and do their thing. And
they all stand up and they all talk about, hi, my name's Ryan Mountain. I'm a financial planner and we work all around. And it's like, the end of the day, it's about being remembered. Right? So then it's like, okay, well, we've got our founder story, which can go anywhere, right? You can tell that when you go on a podcast, when you speak at events, you go to network and you have one-to-ones. When people say, well, what's your story? And I say, well, I always say, how long do I have? And I've got a story. It's memorized. It frames my why. It frames my vision. It frames what I serve for people. And it works.
Interesting. Should we do yours? Like, there's 2 hours to go. This, I want to know how.
2 hours to go.
No, there's 2 ways to go.
Oh, jeez, I thought you were talking. There's 2 hours. I do go on.
Yeah. Well.
Would you like to hear my quick story?
Yeah, basically.
All right. When I was a youngster growing up in Auckland's North Shore, I was surrounded by.
Nah, don't do the voice. Fuck you. Do it like.
No, I'm doing it.
Okay, you're doing it. Okay.
Look, obviously, it's a learned story, Brian.
Okay. Yeah, but like, Brian. let's make it real.
You're going to call you Brian for a moment.
No, you're dead.
It's a learned story, and you've got to learn to tell it fresh each time,
okay.
So when I was a youngster, you know, I was surrounded by, you know, interesting people. People with really interesting stories to tell that just wanted to love life and have fun. And there were musicians and actors and radio announcers and entertainers and musicians. And as a six-year-old, that sounded pretty bloody cool. I was like, it was then I decided that I would follow the footsteps of my father and my grandfather into radio broadcasting and show business. But about the age of 9, I developed a stutter. You know, that complete loss of power when you open your mouth to speak. And I remember lining up at the tuck shop at Ross Mini College in Takapuna, and I'd lining up surrounded by, you know, these prepubescent boys. And I'd plan out what I was going to say, Ryan. I get to the front of the queue and I go, could I have a meat pie? And I remember my mother said to me, well, look, maybe this whole broadcasting thing isn't going to work. But I remember I was like, you know, I kind of want to do this. So I met Carol, and Carol helped with the stagecraft, with the confidence, you know, doing plays. And I did that from 11 right through until I was about 29. And that gave me that confidence in front of an audience. I worked with a speech teacher for a good 7 or 8 years. Oh, they taught you shit that you really don't want to know, like monophthongs, diphthongs, neutral vowels. But you learn to open your mouth to speak. Mm. And I won a few awards, and you know, you learned how to speak. Mm. And there was voice, and there was acting things. So, and then age of 19, I didn't have a stutter. I worked in broadcasting for 10 years, Newstalk ZB, Hierarchy, The Hits.
Secret Robot.
And The Secret Robot, yes, as a actor, commercial voice artist, and actor. And for me that really frames my why, my desire as a presentation coach, to help people get past their challenges and concerns. If I can get past a stutter, you can get behind a microphone, you can get on stage. It's about giving you a structure that I've applied all through my lessons. And really my vision is to help people tell their story, because it's, I've just told you my short story because that connects, right? Mm. But it's like, oh, what about that big, hairy, audacious goal? And for me, it's about helping 100,000 small business owners, SME business owners, create their story and then share it in some way that's to an audience.
Oh, I like it. I almost want to clap.
You know when you're telling the right story, when they go, you know, they want to interject, right? Mm. You could hear some people say a story and it doesn't connect, and they're like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then they'll go, oh, yeah. Oh,
cool. They finished.
Oh, they finished. Oh, cool. So, you know, you've heard of the hero's journey. I've done the first 6 steps in my story.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same story with The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings and Superman and Spider-Man. All of those stories use the hero's journey. Yeah. So you can use that structure, or you can, there's a really cool, you go and look up Pixar's 22 rules. Storytelling rules. Mm. And I really like number 4. I can't remember. It was like, once upon a time there was, and this happened, and then this happened. And how did that make them feel? And then this happened, and then this happened, right? I'm going to do that when I'm in front of, you know, with the audience, and just go around the room and get people to think about what, you know, put a word in. Mm. But, you know, for me, it's so that's helping people create their founder story or origin story, whatever it might be. And then it's, you know, helping people create little simple client success stories. When you stand up and, you know, 2 men walked into a bar and they were thirsty, but they didn't have any money. So they met some Kiwi guys and they were just, you know, so generous. They gave them enough money to buy a beer. So trust Kiwis.
Mm.
Very short story, right? But there's a setting, a conflict, and a resolution.
Wow, hey, okay.
So that's really the, from a SME businesses, it's kind of brand story, little bit in storytelling, and then is going and working with corporates. And it's like, this is cool, right? Going work with corporates and going, well, how do we have a team better connect, right? How do I, and it's kind of what we've both been doing on LinkedIn, but how do we do that to a group of people to have them better perform as a team? You tell personal stories so they bond. Right?
Interesting. Okay.
And then the second step is, what if we want better outcomes or better results from our clients, our customers? We need to change the narrative. So how can we take a complex, something that's happened in business and frame that in a story so we can get a universal outcome for both client and the business. So really it's solving problems using stories and building teams using stories.
Yeah, I mean, that we've had, just on that rules with the Pixar thing.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is they admire character for trying more than their successes. That's, I think, rule fucking 1.
I mean, it's the rule of business, right? You don't learn anything from your success. You learn everything from failure. I've had a few fails.
Yeah, you and I.
And that's good. That's what makes us human. The fact that we can, you know, have this conversation, it's and just be honest about it.
It was crazy.
We admire certain people and we see online who have done remarkably well inside of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and they're, you know, on that trajectory. But, you know, driving here, it's not a competition. I mean, other people want to see you do well, but you need to find the right lane and the right car on the right day to go really fast. So, and sometimes the lane is a fucking dead end.
You've got to
reverse out and go all the way back again. That's just the lessons of business. But if we both know that our secret sauce is a big word, and it starts to let us see. What is that, Ryan J. Melton?
Cunt. Nah. What is it? Communication.
No.
Ah.
Come on, it's a quiz. CO.
Compliments.
C-O-N.
Conversations. C-O-N. Conversation. How could it?
Well, it is conversation.
Contemplation.
But in the context of moving success forward, it is...
Consistency.
Yay.
Hey. I should have got that.
You should have got that.
I failed.
At the end of the day, you may change the narrative, but you constantly show up. You constantly are there. But consistency works in every area of business, doesn't it?
Look at you, eh? I love meeting people a few years back and just seeing life, like, fuck them over and then the man that was shaped. It's quite cool. It's cool seeing you with... Because that whole, like, that presentation aligns with you, aligns with, you know, that whole story that you said, and just knowing you and how you deeply care about others, but then you empower them to communicate while trying to juggle your own internal conflict. So it's quite cool.
I just want to lean over and give you a hug. Thank you. That's really good feedback.
Essentially, and it makes sense. The video didn't really make sense to me, but it sort of
and look,
made sense.
I just talked, you had Ben Maris on your show.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Ben Maris is, you know, I've seen him around and I might go to a few of his networking events. And he kind of took me aside and said, John, you're a storyteller, not a video guy, right? So I know you strategically chose video because you thought that had legs for the future. But the area of video that I'm least interested in is the production. Because if you tell a good story, that's all that needs to come across, right? The authenticity, the connection, the tonality, the presentation of that story is important, but not the how it's shot and the lighting and the sound and the backgrounds and all the stuff that you've learned, which is handy now, but I'm, between you and I, no one knows this yet, but I am going to retire my video training modules.
Hot off the press, people.
You get a scoop, brother.
Fucking hell, Jesus.
So I've still got a few people who have got some proposals, and I'll see them through.
Yeah.
But I've got to go through that production and camera and stuff that I don't really want to, but I will if I have to, if that's the promise. Because, but yeah, it's less about the output, less about video, less about public speaking. It's less about talking into a microphone. It's all about connecting.
Yeah,
connecting with your audience by telling a great story.
Well, just FYI, I look at the thing because it might roll over 30 minutes and then we lose it. So I'm actually captivated. I just keep looking over. But I got heaps of time. I don't know how much time you've got.
I want to finish with one good story.
Oh, you want to finish? No, we're not finishing. I'm just shooting the shit.
Well, you know, we've got to have a toilet break somewhere.
Oh, you need to. Okay. Yeah.
But I wonder whether you can insert this one somewhere at the start. We're talking about LinkedIn. I can't remember. Leaning forward. Is when I remember I did that video on LinkedIn, and this was probably 2021, and I went, oh my God, this business thing is really hard. I need a part-time job.
Good summary. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, exactly what it was. And I mean, look, I think back and I think, well, that probably wasn't the best thing to do. But I had a lot of people reach out.
Mm.
And there were lots of people who came out of the woodwork who has never liked your comment on a post, but they've all seen, they all know who you are, right? That's it. You did a post on this last week. It's like, yeah, they know who you are. They may not engage, but they say to you, oh, I enjoyed your post. It's like, whatever. People would stop me in the street and going, you're the LinkedIn video guy. You know, it's just like, I'm into the, you know,
it's weird,
the ego is, it's like, well, that's good. Which video was it? It's not about that, right? But I had some challenges in the mental health space. And this lady reached out to me, and this lady, I'd like to see her in front of your microphone.
Oh, yeah.
You won't be able to swear though. She
fuck that.
Her name is Simone, and okay, she had developed a program. And basically, I had a coffee with her, and she said, come and do my program. And I did it on the day that Jacinda announced that Delta had arrived. Oof. And so for the next 4 weeks, what I basically learned, and it's not rocket science, nothing ever is, you know, we are triggered by emotions. Emotions drive an inner thought. Inner thought drives it comes from a belief. That belief structure could be based on a truth, a half truth, or a completely made up truth, right? So basically what I got to see was my challenge was about asking for money, asking for business, or anything to do with sales, right? Getting in front of the right people and being confident and saying, look, confident in my own ability. And literally, so I got to see the defense systems that I was running in the background, right? And her program basically shows you how you can see the defense system and then to navigate it and to be able to, you know, get past it. And she said to me after I had seen that, she said, well, you could either keep running your defense systems or you could do some new business. So I did my new business. And this was August 2021. And I 30x my revenue in 4 weeks. So it's not my ability to sell, it's my ability to ask. That's all it was. And then I remember doing one post on LinkedIn where I told that story, right? It's telling an authentic story. And I said, her name is Simone Ellen Keller. Reach out to her. Thank you. And, you know, just acknowledgement. Finish the post. She then, over the next 6 to 8 weeks, 24 sales from that one post.
Yeah.
24 sales. And so she made, you know, 60 grand. Thank you. That's a good testimonial, right? But that's it. You know, I told a story in my natural framework. I just told it like it is. There was some conflict. There was some vulnerability. There was a great outcome. There's some great learnings. And people went, I want what John Mabry had.
Yeah, I was thinking as well, like, in a way, because you are really good at crafting a story and you are really good at caring about people and also asking tough questions to help them, you know, solve problems. So it actually wasn't fair for me to say, you know, a good salesman. And it was really just the ask, which is interesting. So how do you feel deserving of an ask? Or do you never do and you just ask anyways?
Like, well, I think when I 30x my revenue in that story about my mental health challenges, I remember, it's funny enough, I had to go and get some teeth out because I'd been putting it off and whatever, I had to get some teeth done. Said to the dentist, even before I sat in the chair, you'd be great on video. And of course, he's like, he'd seen me through a BNI thing and he went, oh, tell me more. I said, yeah, cool. And I'll map out a plan for you. You'll be amazing. You'll be able to grow your Facebook, which was nothing. He's not only, he doesn't create anything at all, right? And basically, it was a contra deal. It was trying to do a contra deal with my dentist, and basically saying to him, "We'll do some videos, you know, with a videographer, you know, a little bit of, you know, nothing of this shooting on your phone." And he said, "Yeah, sure." It was just a mindset shift of saying to people, "Hey, I can see that you've got a visibility challenge. You've got a great story to tell. Why don't we go tell it?"
That's crazy. That flip, eh? Because obviously I've been self-sabotaging for a good solid year now. And it's been interesting unpacking what's been holding me back. I'm now banned myself from changing, so I'm just going to sell what I've got now.
So you banned yourself from changing?
Yeah. I'm learning. I'm very good at, you know, because what I'll do, I'll get a client and then I'll tell myself what I'm doing shit for them. And then I'll say, how do you forgive me so I can move on? Because I think this isn't good for you. And they're like this. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll do that.
You were telling me about, you know, shiny objects. You're the same thing. So, yeah, look, I think, look, I literally, between you and I...
Well, and the audience.
At the end of the day, I know there's an audience, but I don't really think about them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
As I'm talking to you, the...
I think about you.
On my website, I had, you know, lots of dabbles. And admittedly, I got better at it. I would validate and test something before I changed my landing page or I went to LinkedIn and changed things around. And the last two ideas, I went into my Kartra account and they're all individual pages. Delete, delete, delete. I've deleted everything. The only thing that exists are, you know, some training information. The video training's still there, but comforting to know this. Well, cool. It's, I'm just going hard on this one thing. And unfortunately, I've got to stay there. John Mabry at johnmabry.com. Sorry, a nice little plug there. John at johnmabry.com is, presentation coach. He's a story presentation coach. That's it. I'm not changing anymore. It's a bit like saying Wrigley's, you know, we've been chewing gum for 200 years. Now we want to do insurance, right? And it's confusing for an audience to turn around and say, oh, Wrigley's is now an insurance advisor. And are they still chewing gum? It's confusing, right? So I think that's one of the lessons I've learned is, you know, stay true to it. And then if you are going to shift or you're going to pivot or you're going to change, then it's a new brand. It's a new brand. And it's like johnmabry.com presentation coach started in 2018 or 2019, finished in 2023, right? And then 6 months to sabbatical or go off LinkedIn for 6 months and then do a relaunch under, you know, rotary.com as I'm looking over your right shoulder, right? Rotary wheels. I am the mechanic for your business, whatever it is, right? And I think it's, the mortgage advisor in my BNI group says to me, I hate you, John Mabry, because you see, I'm a mortgage advisor. That's all I do is get people money. You're johnmabry.com presentation coach. You can try all sorts of different things, and I have, and you can still, you don't have to change your positioning. But what you are doing every single time you go to market with a different narrative, it does confuse them.
Yeah. Like, I'm confused. Every time someone tells me what is it that you do? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I can understand.
But you do know. Look.
Now I do.
At the end of the day, what you've been doing, it's the same outcome for the client. The delivery method, you know. True. What was it? I remember smart guy James Kemp talked about, you know, market, media, and message. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Who are you talking to what message, and how are you going to deliver that? And so, you know, you're just tweaking, changing one of those three elements to fine tune it to get the right, to get the car to go faster, right?
Yeah, true. I'm wondering as well, I think there's a lot of lessons that you've, you know, earned. So I'm wondering if there's any other lessons in your business journey. Because, like, people, look, for lack of a better word, they're pussies and they don't talk about what's actually going on. Is there, like, things that, what has been one of your biggest return on mindset change? Ooh, I like that. Return on mindset change.
Well, I think my biggest lesson is that for the first 2 years, it's not really mindset, it's more intentional.
Okay.
Is for the first 2.5 years of my business, I just audience built. I didn't audience build with the intention of having conversations about selling something, right? Which is to a degree an ask. But it was, you know, as you look at, you know, I'll mention Stanley again, and I know that everything that he's doing for his clients is about building audience. Because once you've built an audience, then you can leverage that audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But you can't, what a lot of people do is they start selling straight away to an audience of nothing, and they're like, people don't like being sold to. So to some degree, it's, am I vindicated for doing the right thing to build an audience and waiting and then go to the market? So in some respects, it's the right thing to do. But the business person inside of me is like, no, you need to have a plan, have a business plan of what is the thing you want to, you know, talk about? What are the problem that you're solving? And then have a plan of how you're going to get people through the door, right? Yeah. Any other retail shop, you can't have a retail shop sitting on the street paying all these bills and don't having a plan of how you're going to get people in the door. So we're using that analogy. It's just lucky that the things that we play in is content creation, visibility, and for what most people find it incredibly difficult to do. Right, for you, it's just, this is fantastic. You got a microphone, you've got an audience, you've got a platform. It's just, for us, it's very natural to be able to just go, yeah, cool, I can help you do that. Most people, I mean, I'm an introvert, you're an introvert, but we're extroverted introverts.
Yeah, I think, hey, it's like people, and it's hard to like inject all the failings and fears and doubts into their mind and be like, you know what, you know how you're shitting yourself right now? Yeah, me too. It doesn't get easier. It just, you just are maybe a little easier.
I always get quite, you know, when people go, I've recorded a video. Oh, you know, you've got to like, one video. It took you how many takes? 60 takes to do one video, one 35 second video. And we know that how many videos have we put out. You know, it's not one video. Admittedly, it's a milestone. Good on you. Well done. Pat on the back. Blah, blah. Now go and record another 400. And do that consistently.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think 1,300 is how many videos I've made.
Wow.
Edited, posted. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that's underplayed. Like you use the CON word. The other thing is volume and iteration. It's like, you imagine if your business was to smash a hole into a house over 10 years just using your hand. And you just did it every day in the same fucking spot. And there was no hope for fucking 10 years. And then the house caved. You know what I mean? It's just like volume, iteration, and consistency. Like with the losing the weight, all I did is basically I have a dumbbell or barbell. I don't even know what it's fucking called. I asked ChatGPT, what's the 80-20? So like, what's the minimum amount of effort to maximum results? So like, do these 6 exercises. Okay, put it at the end of my bed. Now every time I wake up, I do it. And every time before I go to bed, I do it for 10 minutes. And I lost 5 kilos and put a lot of muscle for fucking, but then even then, like I still wouldn't do it even though it's minimal friction. So what I would do is a baby step, just do exercise band when you start around. Oh, I couldn't even do that. Oh, go to sleep. Oh, you got to put your clothes on first. Go to bed in the clothes that you're going to wear to work out in. But anyway.
I remember seeing was it the 40-day challenge or 30-day challenge? Yeah. And you don't drink, but you looked like you were hungover, or you'd had a late night, or you'd been out eating burgers, and there's a video of you walking down to the beach going, I'm really, don't know what I'm fucking being here. But then clearly the phone's been put down, you come out and go, oh, I'm kind of refreshed. I mean, it's, look, the fact that I remember that stuff, right?
That's crazy.
People remember the you know, those lockdown videos.
Yeah.
And I look back on them, and I'm going, I mean, they're really creative. They're really quite funny. I remember the one of me in the kitchen saying, I can't take it anymore, John. Like, you know, talking to himself.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore, John. You're a bloody alcoholic. Look at all this booze you're drinking. And then I was like, you can't drink your booze if you don't have the glasses. And I had these, like, 9 old stemmed wine glasses that I never used. And I just broke them all. And it was just... Or the one where I said, you know, I'm not a very good homosexual.
Yeah.
But today that all changes. And it was me baking. Because I'm not a very good baker. And I was making scones and, you know, ingredients and cream everywhere. And that's what you could do during lockdown, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I had some, it was more mental fun. You want to talk about mindset, you know?
It was
during those times. I thought I handled it okay because I'm reasonably adaptable, but you know, we're just moving from in person, but we thought the world was coming down, right? And this was never going to change, and all travel agents were going to be out of a job, and all these people that couldn't, you know, they've been worse hit than you and I can ever imagine. You know, imagine what was going through their lives, minds. So I think I could adapt to those changing environments, but yeah, it was a bit surreal. You know, I remember the first video was, you know, I lived overlooking Spaghetti Junction, so right at the top of almost by K Road there. And I filmed, you know, Spaghetti Junction on a Tuesday morning. What a day. It was a Wednesday, I think it was. Thursday morning it was, you know. And I'm like, today we're counting cars. One, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning. One.
Yeah.
Two.
That's crazy, yeah.
And it was just, day 45, day 60? It was 60 days, something like that.
30-day challenge? I don't actually know. The fact you remember, the fact that you're talking about a video, how many years ago was your one?
That was a lockdown, so that was 2021. So it was two years ago.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you counting cars and there weren't many. Isn't that crazy? So what's the benefit of brand, eh? It's like you think about, it's just, I was a little done with the brand I was creating, maybe, and you were likable.
Well, I think it's you know, I think we have an ability to be able to put ourselves out there and just create content for the sake of creating content. It feels like we were early TikTok creators, right?
Yeah.
Just making crazy stuff. Yeah,
I got into the NZ Business Review because of that. I was the only advisor on as a fucking TikToker.
Wow.
Anyways.
But I think the how do you monetize, how do you business eyes what you're doing and make it relevant for someone, and is it something that they want?
Yeah.
Right?
It's a big game. Just on the Stan thing, people were like, oh, fucking LinkedIn, TikTok, he's so good. He just had 20 coffees a week. People don't talk about that shit. He's like, this is my KPI. I'm going to talk to 20 people a week.
Look, he's a smart sales guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And look, I remember during lockdown, we caught up, you know, when we were level 2 or 3 and we were allowed to. And I remember, who's that smart Asian dude who's the designer who has the future, the TV, the YouTube channel, The Future?
Oh, I don't know.
Whatever. It's lots of educational stuff. You know, giving away. It was largely helping creatives better sell. Anyway, I can't remember his name, but Stan, you know, there was a really nice, you know, way to sell and sell easily. You know, well, that's your problem. And it was, and I remember sitting down with Stan, and he really invested the time, right? I mean, he could just go off and create his business, and he had already employed a couple of staff members by that stage, and you know, he just has this ability to get in front of people and say, and be really personable, and it's almost effortless selling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Isn't that crazy?
And look, I admire the guy. I love him. I love him to bits. I love lots of people to bits. But and you know, you can't help go, well, how can I get that? You know, or get what he's having. But at the end of the day, it's a different model. We're not about creating, you know, mammoth teams, or are you about creating 15 team members?
I mean, I got big goals. Whether it's more people to do those goals, whatever the fuck works, I don't care. I just try and get that goal. It's interesting, like, it's 15, and if it goes for another 15, then it cuts off. It's crazy, like, so people were talking about you, but you weren't telling me about you.
Oh, sorry, can you say that again?
People were talking about you, but you weren't telling me about you. And what I mean by that is, like, it's like both of I've spoken about Stan maybe 3 of the last 6 episodes. Sometimes my ideas, sometimes theirs. And so people are talking about me and people are talking about you, but they're talking about him as though he's successful. And they're talking about me as like, oh, yeah, he's got self-worth problems. He doesn't know what he wants in life. And they're talking about, oh, John's fucking great coach, but, you know, yeah. But now he's cracked it.
So what are you saying? I think it's
what is that?
It's a content narrative, right? It's, if you break down your content in terms of pillars, I mean, for me, it's a natural thing to do, right? On a Monday, Greg Burgoyne talks about, you know, it's a inspiration Monday. It's an ask Tuesday. It's a, you know, even ways for you to categorize your daily posts into different things. You know, I always go promotion Monday, which is I put an image up about Ryan Melton and saying, isn't Ryan Melton great? Mm-hmm. And it's, I know it's a feel good, I know that Ryan's going, I like John Mabry, right? That's the big tick. That's all we want to do. That's the objective. And then Tuesday is educational video, right? Video Tuesday. Videos work really well at Tuesday before 6:30. Put them in there and just let them do their thing. And then I'd probably do proof Wednesday. So it was just a testimonial. And then it would be a personal story Thursday and a funny Friday. And that was my kind of framework. But Stanley was more around books on Monday. You know, he did the whole book pillar. And then he talks about his staff, right? You know, but people. And so you try stuff, right?
Yeah.
But no one really scrolls back. I mean, if you were just discovering me on LinkedIn, would you go back 4 years and look at the content? Some people, again, we wouldn't know if they were lurkers, right?
Yeah, but I did that with one person.
Yeah, my post where I talked about me, it was my 20th anniversary of being HIV positive, and you know, I related back to business. I think somehow. Yeah. It was a grateful post, and it was used the most number of characters in a LinkedIn post. Normally, I like to space things out. It was like single lines. I'm like, oh, who's going to read that? But it was pretty emotional. And I remember, you know, it was kind of rounding out to say that, you know, invest in yourself. It was basically invest in yourself. And I remember, you know, posting that and going, I was so nervous about posting it. I was like, it's not really, other people shouldn't need to hear that, didn't need to read it. But remember, it's some people will if it's going to help somebody. And it did. I had a guy reach out from London and said, I read your post and I've been thinking about, you know, telling my mother and father that I'm HIV positive.
Oh, wow.
And you just go, yeah, oh, cool. You know, it's like, I've always been a stand that share something personal of yourself, because that's going to cut through the mustard if the objective is knowing, liking, trusting.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. You make me think, like, I don't actually write any content for me. I'm actually writing, hey, this guy is going to feel what I feel. Like, actually, Dan pulled me into his Stansplaining podcast, whatever the fuck, and he pulled up the post of like, oh, this is me, this is my financial situation, blah, blah, blah. And
more of Document Your Journey. More of a Gary V Document Your Journey.
Yeah.
That's been your approach.
Well, no, the reason I made that post was because I didn't want some cunt to walk up to me and say, it's harder for me, Ryan, you don't understand. I wrote that so they can't be full of bullshit excuses and get some shit done. I didn't, but then, you know, what that looks like is Ryan's emotionally unsettled, is kind of fucked. But like 80% of the time, I'm happy, content, taking action, sabotaging on shiny new things. But it's just interesting. Maybe
so
I should.
So what you're saying is we need to write more content about ourselves. I mean, I do from a personal nature. I think I've told everything that I need to tell on LinkedIn about myself, good and bad. But I think it's, I don't have anything interest. I don't think I have interest in anything interesting to say. I don't, you know, I mean, I could put up, this is my little red 50cc scooter and I, you know, and I have, but it's, and maybe this is that as a coach, as gay man, single coach, that I just don't have, I don't have a partner, I don't go to trips, I don't, you know, you becoming a business owner, all you do is work.
Yeah.
But it's satisfying when it pays off. So yeah, I think content about ourselves, selling ourselves, yes, we're always selling ourselves by, you know, putting ourselves out there. So long as there's a little question, I've got very good at once a week. I do an ask post. I do an ask post, you know, every week.
Yeah.
Whereas it took me 2 years, 3 years to go, oh, hey, you know, and it was actually like, I mean, I really like Jason Gunn, right?
So oh, yeah.
He's a bit of a, he's a legend. Yes, is he playing in the same space as me? Probably, but for me, a different audience. And, but the fact that, if you've grown up in Auckland or you've grown up in New Zealand and you're a Gen Xer or a Y, a Gen Xer, you already know who he is.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to, if you're building out resonance around you as a business owner, you need to talk about yourself. You need to demonstrate who you are. But Jason just does, He just does educational entertainment, edutainment videos with a nice big fat juicy call to action on the back of it saying, if you need some help, I'd love to help. And it's just, I was just like, wow, I wish I had that.
It's crazy. I'll just, I think we'll wrap it out soon. But like, it's hard to quantify that value that we've like put out to the ether. Like, you know, there's someone said
we quantify the value in another 4 years' time by the size of our hefty bank balances and the Porsches that we're driving.
I can't imagine you driving Porsche, but I can't imagine this not working out.
Well, at the end of the day, it comes down to what do you want, right? It's at the end of the day, if you're almost saying that what you're doing by, you know, hard on the sleeve, trying new things, etc., maybe that's just what you're born to do. You know, you're trying and testing something, and eventually something will go, actually, this kind of works. But it's not that it's wrong. It's just not traditional, right? But then again, what you're doing and what we're doing as content creators is hardly traditional. We're in the 1% of the global population who actually go, oh, well, I see benefit in sharing my voice, sharing my opinion, sharing my thoughts to the world.
That's a beautiful end.
Great end, isn't it?
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Look forward to number 3.
Good man.